Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity where you listen to us live on the air, and you can pick up that phone and give us a call and ask a question. You can call us at 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. That's 800-990-0750. I'd like to welcome all of you throughout the country that are listening to us on iTunes or on podcast at freedom970.com, and also to the regular radio listeners that are listening to us as well. And I do want to say that you can listen to our show anytime on your mobile device. You can go on iTunes and catch previous shows that we've had. In studio this morning with me is Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA firm.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Kevin. You and I are going to have a lively show today because Carl, our esteemed estate planning attorney, is taking a little time off, so it's just going to be me and Kevin here to answer your questions. So if you got a legal question, this is not the week to call because we would not give you the right answer. But if you have a tax question or an investment question, we're here to answer those, and we would be more than happy to do it. Kevin, there's a lot going on with the State of Union that the president gave. I did an interview the other day on a radio station. They called me and I did an interview about the State of the Union address. And I discussed some of the misstatements that our esteemed president had to say, because he certainly painted a picture that is not true with the economy. And I just want to point out, I've said on the radio show before numerous times, it is my firm belief that we are in a long-term secular bear market. That means that, and this happens, and these secular bear markets last 16 to 22 years. We're down 14 years of it, and I can prove it because... I'll give you the numbers here in a minute on what we've actually made in the market. And don't be fooled into thinking we've turned the corner, because we haven't. Even though we're pushing back to highs, we hit them, we came back down. I've been saying for some time, when the S&P breaks by through that 2150, I'd be holding on to my money. I'd be looking and saying, what's going to happen? Because I think we're going to have a fallback, a correction in the market. But this market has been relatively flat for a long, long time, has not had the returns. Over 200% less return the first 14 years of this century than we had the previous 80 years. Now, that's saying something, but it's not fiction. It's fact. And when we talk about recovery in the United States, we had the last long-term bear market we had was from 1966 to 1982. That's 16 years. And if you go back and you look at the market, you can see that during that period, particularly the Dow Jones hit 1,000, didn't come back to 1,000 for good until 82, hit it in 66 and never came back until 1982. Now, that was a long-term bear market. And anybody who's lived through it, now, some people, I won't mention any names, were not an adult at that time or had to live through that. But if you did, you fully remember and you fully understand. The other thing I remember about that time is that was the first time in my life that I ever saw real estate go backwards. We actually, up until that time, I always believed that you could buy real estate and it always went up. Well, we found out in the early 80s that wasn't true. We also found out again in this century that is just not true. And I've been listening to some real estate people who have been on TV of late and talking about where the market is and when the time to buy is. And, you know, they're talking about real rates of return on real estate of 3 to 5% a year. I don't think anybody who buys real estate as an investment thinks about it as a return of 3 to 5% a year. But they're saying down the road and looking down the future, real estate's going to grow about 3 to 5% a year. So with that in mind, I think if you're not buying a house for a home to live in, you're making a big mistake, because I still think one of the basic rules of investing is to buy a home, get in a home, live in that home, because you got to live someplace, and you might as well be building up an asset while you're doing it. And there's tax advantages.
So 3 to 5% a year, is that after from this point forward, or is that going to be after possibly a reset or a drawback?
No, they're saying prices. From this point forward, you should expect to make 3 to 5% on your real estate.
That sounds fairly rosy, actually, compared to...
Compared to what it's been.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, and I mean, some people still haven't caught up. So, yeah, that you know, at least they're saying it's heading in the right direction. Well, this is a time when I kind of like to talk about the stock market, and I kind of brought it up a little bit. And one of the things I want to say about the recovery in the president's talk, one of the things, he said, he made a comment that I won the last two elections. And it was kind of an arrogant comment, and I don't care whether you're a liberal or conservative, that had to strike your it struck me as a very arrogant thing for a president of the United States to stand up there and say, particularly when this past November, he got his lunch handed to him, because he kept saying the whole time the election was coming up, this is an election on what I've done. This is an election on my programs. This is an election on my health care plan. Well, guess what? The people spoke. We had the largest turnover in the House and the Senate. A historical number of people who went in and went Republican instead of Democrat. And what it tells is that the majority of the people in the United States do not agree with the president of the United States. And the guy stands up and makes that comment. He's either delusional or he's got such a big ego he can never admit that he screwed up. I was hoping to hear the president say, if you had gotten soundly defeated in November, I would have thought showing the United States people a little bit of humility, and if he would have said, you know what, we obviously need to make some changes in our policies, we need to reach across the aisle, we need to work with the House and the Senate, and everybody forgets, and I had a debate with a friend of mine who happens to be a very staunch Barack Obama fan, and he proceeded to tell me how the Republicans have totally stonewalled him. And I said, well, excuse me, but the first 2 years he was in office, he controlled the House and the Senate. He could have virtually passed anything he wanted. And in fact, he passed the Health Care Act with not one Republican voting for it. So he could have virtually passed any dang thing he wanted the first 2 years he's in office. The question you have to ask yourself, why didn't he? Who got paid money? Who made money? You know, he talks about this new tax thing he wants to do, and I know I'm not going to steal Kevin's thunder because we're going to talk about that. But I got to tell you, it's not helping it's not going to hurt just the rich. It's going to hurt every single American who's ever bought a house. Anybody who's ever bought a house, anybody who's ever bought an investment outside of their retirement plan. It's not a good thing for the average American person. And if you believe in the tooth fairy, then you believe it is. But the reality is, and we're going to talk about this, the reality is it isn't. And I'm going to talk about this market. And the other thing I said on the air, and I've said it here before numerous times, I've been saying this for years, if you're a politician, do not be stupid enough to take the credit for the stock market. Because if you take the credit for the stock market, you better take the credit when it tanks. And I would not want to be the president right now standing up telling everybody, boy, the markets are going crazy because of me. The markets are going nuts. We're going to new highs because of me. And I got news for you. When this thing crashes, everybody's got to remember his speech that he gave the other night. He's to blame. He took the credit. He's to blame. And I'll tell you what, he's not going to want the blame for this one. He's not going to want it. And in fact, he'll probably turn around and say, George Bush did it. Even though George Bush hasn't been in office for, what, 6 years? Anyway, it's kind of funny. And actually, the biggest mistake George Bush made was not saying that Bill Clinton did it. Because this bear market actually started back to 99, 12/31 of 99. Bill Clinton was still president. Everybody forgets the tech bubble popped under Bill Clinton's watch, not under George Bush's watch. We were already heading down, and Bush came into office, and 9/11 hit and pushed it even farther down. But the fact is, the economy had already turned. It's amazing to me how many Americans, and I told a guy the other day, I had a client who said to me, well, you know, I don't remember that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, do you keep all your statements? Go back and look at what you had in 1999 at the end of the year. Then go back and look at what you had at the end of the year in 2001. And then 2000, then 2001. Look at the difference. There is a difference. And it was not up. It was down. And let me just tell you about the market here. The Dow Jones closed on 123, which is Friday, closed at 17,672.60. Now, where does the Dow Jones stand if we go back and we take a look at when the market had the last crash? And we go back and look at that on 10/9/07, the market was sitting at 14,164.53. So unless you were one of the 0.1% that got the heck out of the market, and this is what drives me crazy on TV, these guys always talk like you and me and everybody else was smart enough to get out of the market and then jump back in at the bottom. I got news for you. Nobody does that. Not even Warren Buffett. Why do you think Warren Buffett needs insider deals to make money? Because he got caught just like everybody else. He lost a lot of money. We all did. I don't know anybody who timed that thing perfectly. Very few people did. We have a couple of managed portfolios that did. But they were not invested in the stock market. They were in the bond market. But they were able to avoid it. But the reality is anybody who was an equity stock investor probably did not avoid it. I can tell you all the mutual funds out there, I didn't see one that did. But anyway, the Dow Jones since 10/9/07 is up a whopping 24.77% for 7 years and 3 months. That's an average annual return of 3.42. 3.42 on an index that has averaged the 80 years before, averaged almost 9%. Now, how about the Dow? When the Dow closed on 12/31/99, was at 11,497.12. So it's up 53.71% for 14 years. That's an average annual return of 3.82. Now, what this tells you, and this I want you to listen real closely to this. This tells you that what Bill Clinton did and George Bush did worked better than what Barack Obama did. Understand this, the market. I mean, somebody who's advising him should have said to him, hey, boss, don't go sticking your foot in your mouth and taking the credit for the stock market, because there's nothing to take credit for. It's actually worse. So don't go stepping out there and saying, I did this, when you didn't do it. Because when you make statements that you didn't do something, well, it comes back to haunt you. But, I mean, there's a lot of people in this country that don't want to get confused with facts.
Well, I got to say, Chuck, you'd make a bad politician, because you're talking about reality instead of presentation. It's all about presentation.
Well, you know, my problem is, Kevin, I don't like the Democrats, and I don't like the Republicans much better. I think there's a battle going on between all of us taxpayers and all of the government employees, and I consider the Republicans government employees just like I do the Democrats. And I think one of the biggest problems in this country is we've allowed us to get dumbed down. We've also allowed the politicians to divide and conquer us, because you got 40% of the people that are going to vote Democrat no matter who they run. You got 40% of the people that are going to vote Republican no matter who they run. And the rest of us that I call the independents sitting in here at 20%, and we really determine the election. And unfortunately, half of them don't follow what's going on. So I think we're in a bad state where we talk about our politicians, because if these guys really wanted to help America, the question every one of you ought to be asking Ron Wyden or any of your politicians, your local politicians, hey, if the country's in this bad of shape and you're worth as much money as you're worth, why are you taking a paycheck? Why aren't you putting your money back into the government? It's just like I had somebody tell me, well, Warren Buffett's a real, you know, real great American. Even he wants lower taxes. Well, I got news for you. Warren Buffett takes advantage of every tax advantage there is. And there is nothing against the law, Kevin, that allows you to pay more taxes than you need to pay, is there?
Nope.
And if you wanted to send money to the federal government to reduce the national deficit and pay more taxes, you could do it, couldn't you?
That's right.
I don't hear Warren Buffett doing it. I haven't heard Warren Buffett do it. I haven't heard Bill Gates do it. I haven't heard any of these guys. I haven't heard, hey, Barack Obama talks about how rich he is and he's got money and he's one of the rich guys. Then why isn't he giving money to reduce the deficit? Why aren't they putting their money where their mouth is? Because they don't really believe that. That's why. Okay, the Dow Jones closed on 1231.99, is up 3.82%. Notice it's a half a percent better than it was the last 7 years. So that means the last 7 years we had less performance than we had the previous seven. This is not rocket science. It's pretty easy numbers here. Okay, the S&P closed at 2,051.82. The S&P, as I've said on this show many, many, many times, the S&P, in my opinion, is now an international stock fund. It's not an American stock fund. The companies that are in the S&P 500 are international stocks. They really act more like a international stock than the previous 80 years they acted like an American stock. You look at the S&P, it closed at 2,051.82. Now, where was it on 10/9/07? Well, it was sitting at 1,565.15. So during that 7 years and 3 months, it's up 31.09%, and that's 4.29% per year. Now, here's where the S&P has done much better, the international, and doesn't it figure, because we've ran up our national debt helping other countries, paying money, trying to buy their love, spending money like a drunken sailor, except the drunken sailor earned the money. We've had more debt the last 7 years under Barack Obama than we had under all the previous presidents. And he ran, for all you people who voted, he ran on how bad George Bush did on running up the deficit. And he's ran up way more than Bush ever ran up. But not one person calls him on it. Not one person says a thing. And I've yet to hear anybody say to me, well, yeah, but he had to. Well, he had to. Why? All you got to do is say no. Don't we run ads all over TV on drugs? Say no to drugs. Hey, say no to frivolous spending. That's all you got to do. Say no. Okay, the S&P for the last 14 years, since 1231.99, is up a whopping 39.65%, or for the 14 years at 2.82%. That's less than 3% in a growth fund. In a growth fund. That's not growth, folks. When inflation is running 2 to 3% and you've only made 2.82, after you add taxes in there, you went negative for 10 years, actually 14 years. So anyway, following up on the market, the oil closed at 48.36, makes me very happy. The week before, it was at 48.56, so 20 cents. Gold closed at 12.94, And the last one we reported on 116 was at 1279, so it's up a little bit. 10-year bond rate, Kevin, this still bothers me where we're at on this thing. Last week is at 1.81. This week it closed at 1.82%. Listen, if you got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call. This is Investing Simplified. This is your opportunity to ask a question on air. There's no fees, there's no charges, there's no expense. This is a free opportunity to get those questions answered. 503-417-7626. Toll free 800-990-0750. We'll be right back with the Tax Investigator.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Let's face it, the rules of retirement have changed. What we were told to do just a few years ago now seems like a pipe dream. Hi, this is Michael Burnett for Chuck Price, owner of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. You know the drill. Be a loyal employee. You'll get a pension. Your home will be worth 10 to 20 times what you paid for it when you retire. So how's that working for you? Call Chuck Price right now. He's located right here in Portland. Featured expert on Investing Simplified on AM 970. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or close to retiring, and he focuses on protection of principal and tax strategies to minimize your taxes. Call right now and get Chuck's retirement report. It's packed full of information on generating more income during retirement, how to leave more to your heirs, and so much more. 503-253-3000. Chuck Price, Price Financial Group Wealth Management, on the web at pfgwm.com.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the Tax Investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Colson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we definitely do welcome your calls. If you have a tax question or an investing question, 503-417-7626, or outside of the Portland area, it's 800-990-0750. And, you know, maybe you have a thought or a question on the Affordable Care Act or some of the new extenders that got passed through Congress here over the last couple weeks. Give us a call. We'd love to tell you how that might affect your situation. But to start with, last week we talked about the student loan debt and the growing problem that's becoming to our young people coming up, our millennials, and how it's grown almost 50% in the last 4 years. A half a trillion of growth, I believe Rodney Johnson indicated, almost a half a trillion. That's pretty significant. And we also talked about how that student loan debt can't be discharged in bankruptcy. And so that it's a pretty bad problem. But never fear, help is on the way. They must have listened to our program because John Delaney, a Democrat out of Maryland, congressman, has introduced the Discharge Student Loans in Bankruptcy Act. And what this will do is what it says. It will make student loan debt treated the same in bankruptcy as other debt, such as credit card debt, auto loan debt, and mortgage debt, where it can now be wiped off the books. Of course, this is just proposed. Who knows how it's going to do in terms of political tug of war and so on and so forth. But on average, 69% of graduates on average in 2013 had student loan debt of nearly $30,000. So that'll give you an idea of where you might fit in on this. Like I said, they must have listened to our program because they're trying to fix something there. Going on with college issues in the tax code, there has one of the proposals that Obama has come up with is on the on 529 college savings plans, and there would be reduced benefits in using these tuition state tuition programs. And what the issue would be is in simplifying it, it would basically gut the most attractive benefit, and that is that you could withdraw your money, your earnings and contributions, so on and so forth, tax-free if it's used for educational purposes. And the new proposals would say that you don't get to take that money out tax-free anymore. So if that were to happen on the 529 plans, it would pretty well gut anybody ever using them again, because you would just do your own investment, you know, what have you. But the reason that they would do this is supposedly the 529 plan is really only helping people that would be saving anyway. They say that 70% of 529 plans, the account balances are with people with incomes over $200,000. And so this would be part of the comprehensive tax reform. But just know that that is an issue. Looks like we have a caller. Is that correct?
Got a caller. Ray's got a question about frivolous spending.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I like what you say about the frivolous spending, cutting frivolous spending. And I just have one example of what frivolous spending was cut recently. Every year, at about like January 29th, I go to the IRS office in Portland, and I pick up a 1099 form and take it back to my office, fill it out, and submit it before the end of the month. Well, this year I decided to go early, so I went out yesterday, the 23rd, so it was really early, to get this 1099 form from the federal government office in downtown Portland. I got there, and there were three or four other people that were there while I was there trying to get this same form. And they don't carry it downtown anymore. So the options were to go online. Well, they're not going to be able to send it in enough time, I'm sure, to get it to my place, then filled out and submitted in timely by the end of the January. So they suggested that another option would be to go to Office Supply Store. So for any of you lucky listeners out there that do it yourself, your 1099s, and I have this is my last year of renting, so this is my last year I get to deal with it. But I guess they're trying to cut their printing expenses and distribution costs for the forms that they require us to use.
Well said. Yeah.
This does not surprise me. I know that the post office used to have a lot of forms, and they've really cut down on that. They're definitely going away from paper as much as they can. And, you know, we're required to e-file just about everything anymore. You know, not all taxpayers aren't, but as a professional firm, we are. We have to go down that road. But we do. We order our 1099 forms early. So, hey, give our office a call. We'll send you out one on Monday if that would help, or swing by. We've got a stockpile of them, Ray.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, good question. That's. I think one of the things that, you know, I mean, to me, there is so much waste. In fact, I heard a statistic the other day by an independent study that was just as a look through, there was over $42 billion of programs that the government was spending money on, which were stupid stuff.
$42 billion.
You know, billion with a B. Yeah.
This is something that I don't think should be, I mean, I don't consider this frivolous because it's a form, the 1099, that you have to have the paper copy. You can't go online and fill out like the 1040 schedule, whatever, schedule A. You can't do that.
That's right.
Well, one of the things we don't want to ever conscrew is that the federal government has common sense.
Right.
Because this is obviously one of those cases where they're requiring you to fill out a form, but they're not going to provide the form.
Sure.
So,
exactly.
I mean, how? Yeah.
Point taken. Okie doke.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Thank very
you.
Well.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, this is unfortunately the taxpayer is caught between political posturing here with the IRS going after conservative charities and then the conservative Congress cutting their budget. Now the IRS has come back and just said, we're lame ducks. We don't have enough money to do anything. And it's been likened to the Park Service when they shut down the you know, they had a budget cut. So the first thing they did was shut down the Washington Monument. You know, there are other things you can cut other than the most visited memorial in the nation. So, well, back on just finishing up on the 529 plan thing, the proposals would to make it more palatable for, quote, the middle class, the reforms would expand the American Opportunity Tax Credit, which is a good tax credit for people with college tuition. It would make the refundable portion a flat $1,500 and available up to 5 years, eliminate student loan interest deductions on new loans, which would be interesting, eliminate the lifetime learning credit, the tuition and fees tax deduction. So it would supposedly simplify it, but it would also wipe away a student's tax bill if their student loan debt is forgiven. And if you remember right, Rodney talked about pay on your student loan as you go program and stuff. So if you have that wiped off at the end of your 10-year period, then you wouldn't owe tax on it. So not saying I agree with all this, but that's kind of what's being talked about. So it sounds to me like, Chuck, you actually listened to the State of the Union address. Is that...
Actually, I did.
You did? Okay.
I did. I wanted to hear what he was saying. And I think any president, you need to be respectful of the fact that they're president of the United States. And I want to hear what the guy has to say. But when he says something and he's not saying the truth, then it's hard to respect that. And I think you give him due respect because he is president of the United States, and you listen to it, and I think a lot of people held their tongues when he was talking, and I was surprised that that they could, because some of the stuff was so far from the actuality of what's going on. But I think still you want to hear it. You know, I pay a lot of taxes in this country. I vote. I didn't vote for him either time, but... But anyway, I do think you got to respect the it was the lesser of the evils, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really had for almost 20 years really good choices of candidates. The last time I think I had a really good choice was when I was one of the few who voted for Ross Perot, the guy who told everybody exactly what was going to happen to the Banking Reform Act, exactly what was going to happen to NAFTA. Get all your jobs sucked out of this country by the Dems and the Republicans, and the Banking Reform Act turning over the hen house to the wolf. Boy, did we all get bit. And he said exactly what was going to happen. He showed it right on TV, and some of us who looked at that and said, hey, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. This guy's not a politician. He's a businessman. He's telling you what these thieves are doing to you, and yet the majority of the people still voted for the thieves.
Yep, very true.
Don't get it, but...
Well, I got to tell you, I didn't find time to listen to it. I had more important things like scheduling an appointment with the dentist or taking the garbage out or scratching my fingers on a chalkboard. But
yeah.
I did see the headlines afterwards, and one headline did catch my eye, and so I had to dig in, and it's the headline was he wanted to get rid of the trust fund loophole. And I'm thinking, you know, I specialize in estate and trust taxation, individual and business taxation. I'm not sure what this trust fund loophole is, so I figured I better investigate. And so the first,
you are the tax investigator.
That's true. This is true. So the first thing I did was I wiped the clown cream pie off my face and cleaned it out of my eyes and realized I have been buffaloed by cronyism, nepotism, rascalism.
All the above.
That's right. My tribute to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou There. So,
yep, I love it.
But basically, it's nothing more than the term is nothing more than political agitprop. I did use that word.
Wow.
Yes. But what he really meant was, let's get rid of stepped up basis. That's what we're talking about. And this term trust fund loophole just, it frankly doesn't exist. In fact, if we get rid of stepped up basis, trusts are going to explode because of it.
Well, you know, I'm going to give a little shameless plug here for my book. And if you haven't picked up a copy of the book, which Kevin does provide a chapter in it about CPAs, it's called Investing Simplified. It's available at Amazon.com. You can also pick up a copy at my office. And the thing I want to mention, is I left a chapter out, and I did provide a chapter, and I'm thinking about releasing it as an e-book or as an e-article about how to solve America's problems. And one of the things I have in there, and I thought this is what he was going to address, I put a statement in there about the foundations in this country, that we've taken the Kennedys, the Rockefellers, the Fords, we've allowed them to do foundations which exempt them from any kind of estate tax, any kind of taxes, and these guys have virtually trillions of dollars tied up that we're not getting any money off of, and these are very rich families. And hey, if you can tell me why the Kennedys deserve a tax break over you or me, I'd like to know. If anybody out there who's a taxpayer who really believes the Kennedys, after all this time, and the Rockefellers and the Fords, with their billions and trillions of dollars, they need a tax break, and you and I need to pay more, or guys like Warren Buffett need a tax break, and you and I need more? Come on. The capital gains tax is directly, the stepped-up basis and the capital gains tax is directly pointed at all you seniors out there who retired and are living off your investments, that you just have too dang much money. You've got too much money.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. So with basically what would happen in this scenario is that not only would assets not get stepped up when you die, but it would make death a taxable event. In other words, any appreciation you have on your assets on the date that you died would be taxable at that time under income tax laws, as if you had liquidated that asset or sold it or what have you. Then, of course, you're still subject to inheritance taxes, and so your estate would pay inheritance taxes. And I got to tell you, Chuck, I have read numerous articles that are just completely wrong in the analysis of how this would affect people. And they would come up with scenarios that they would say what Obama is proposing is correct because these assets would escape capital gains. Well, of course, this particular example, they would escape capital gains because the asset would be subject to ordinary income tax at up to 40% plus if you're in a high income tax state, plus inheritance taxes.
Well, never before have I ever seen the adage that figures don't lie but liars figure come out more with this new tax thing and the stuff I've been reading on Yahoo. And I use Yahoo Finance all the time. I look at it all the time. But there's been some articles on there that I got to tell you, I just shake my head on the numbers they're coming up with. And there are, Kevin, they're relating to things that are ordinary income, saying on the capital gains, and they don't even relate.
Yep. Yep.
It's not the same.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so you know, to make sure we look at the point they're trying to address here, or the point he is trying to address here, is what you mentioned about, you know, the upper 5% or the 1% stepped up basis in terms of total dollar amount, huge amount of dollar saved there. However, it is going to affect middle class Americans. Make no mistake about that. The proposal would basically, upon your death, you would get to exclude up to $250,000 or $500,000 of your residence, or $100,000 for a single and $200,000 for a married couple of other assets. So that's all you would get to exclude. So what's basically, know that in the time that the baby boomers are going to be transferring, making the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of civilization, this is trying to get into effect so that they can tap into that.
Well, I'm just gonna compare the government to Dracula. Dracula sucks the blood out of you while you're alive, and he keeps sucking the blood out of you. Imagine if Dracula, when you died, he would go in and go for your dead body and suck every ounce of blood in it, and that's the government.
That's right. That's right. So the reason this would create more trusts, and especially dynasty trusts, to avoid all of this is, so exactly what Mark Zuckerberg did with Facebook stock. Back when Facebook was early and young, and before he went on out with going public with Facebook, he put a chunk of his shares. I don't know how much, don't have the numbers and stuff, but he put a chunk of his shares into a trust before he had kids, before he had families, anything. And he put those in as part of, it's a gift. It's irrevocable. It's in there. He can't touch it. He gets the income off of it, but he can't touch the value. It's in there.
It all goes to charity, or?
I don't know. He has various beneficiaries, and I'm sure it can say my progeny or whatever, so it does cover his kids and his spouse down the road.
Yeah.
But then he goes public. The stock just goes crazy. That's the gain on that is stuck in the trust and does not ever get taxed once he died. It is completely out of his estate. And we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And if you're in a state that has dynasty trust, this is how families put huge amount of assets into something. They get to live off the income. The base is still there. If you need some of that stock, you know, you sell X number of shares, you pay capital gains at that time, but you still have this huge nest egg in a dynasty trust. And if you get rid of stepped up basis, people who can afford it are going to dump more money into that. It's just going to make the problem worse. So clearly somebody hasn't thought this through.
Gee, I can't believe that.
And that's the tax investigator for today.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the Knowledge Trust. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you've got a question, pick up the phone, call us at 503-417-7626. And for you podcast listeners out there, you can dial it at 1-800-990-0750. Investing Simplified. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com. 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503 513-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
My name is Money.
Well, you're listening to Investing Simplified, and this is the time when we kind of open it up and we kind of chat in between us, and we kind of talk about maybe things that we covered through the week. And Kevin, I know you and I have numerous clients we work together on and stuff, and as we do with Carl. And one of the things I've noticed of late is that I've encountered a lot of people who have a lot of money who go in, meet with a financial planner or they think an estate planner or an income planner, whatever they call themselves, or a coach or whatever. They call themselves all kinds of things. And they always talk about low fees, and they usually end up putting these people into long-term deferred annuities. And I got to ask you, you have to ask yourself when somebody's talking to you about an annuity product or an insurance product, because is it an investment or is it a guaranteed income? An annuity is a guaranteed income. It's not an investment. And if your guy's talking to you about an investment, please call me on the phone. Do a comparison. I'll sit down and show you the real numbers. Most of these annuity contracts have made, over the last 14 years, they've barely kept up with the S&P, which I've already told you kind of sucks versus the regular investments. But they've done 2 to 4%. That's not a big return, folks. That's not an investment. You know, good managed portfolios that we manage, of course, interest. When you manage money, they're not guaranteed, but we have numerous accounts that since 99 have netted over 8% per year average return. And the reality is that's 2 to 3 times higher than an annuity product. So annuities designed to give you guaranteed income. If you have a lot of money, why would you need to defer the income into the future and pass it on to your kids and give them a higher income tax bracket? I don't understand that. I think one of the things, if you're going to work with somebody and they're going to call themselves an income planner or an estate planner, then they ought to be talking to you about the ramifications of that investment, not only today, but tomorrow and down the road, because there are ramifications. Our board just went out. I hope we're on air.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the key things with estate planning is there's a number of things that you can do with an estate plan, and a lot of those things make sense at certain times depending on what the economy's doing. There's a lot of factors that you have to consider, from your health to, you know, your perspective on the economy, you know, how much money you need right now to continue living, you know, what you want to pass on to your kids or to charity, and stuff. And so there's never a cookie cutter approach to estate planning and the related investing once you get that estate plan in place to, you know, pass off your assets to your beneficiaries. And I find so often that something that worked maybe 5 years ago that somebody has in their plan is being pitched to them again to a different client today, and it doesn't make sense right now or for that client based on the client's circumstances.
Yeah, it all has to be based on your individual thing. There is no cookie cutter estate plan.
No.
I mean, everybody's situation is totally different, but you need to always ask yourself, and you need to ask the person that's telling you about this, you need to say, okay, show me what the real rate of return is. Show me what they've done in the past. And a lot of times, some of these people are providing new products that don't have a track record. They're saying, well, here's hypothetically what it'll do or what it would have done. Well, you need to know what it did. And if it didn't, then you don't want to be the guinea pig to say what it's going to do. I think you got to look at these things and you got to ask a second opinion on them sometimes. And I have no problem with anybody who we talk to if they want to get a second opinion. I certainly welcome it. But I'm just telling our listeners, because I listen to other radio shows and I hear some of the buzzwords that I hear, and then I end up seeing some of the work they do. And like the buzzwords is low fees. Low fees usually mean they have no returns, or they're putting you into an annuity product that's done, you know, 2 to 4%, or they want to guarantee your income. Well, the only way you're going to guarantee your income is either put the money into CDs, maybe treasuries, hopefully. Treasuries in the United States government is going to be there, and insurance annuities. But when you're guaranteeing an income, you're not investing. You're buying a guarantee. And normally, if you have a guaranteed income benefit, there's a fee for it. And do you know what the fee is? Sometimes that fee can be 1% to 2%. And so you looked at, you need to see what that's really going to do for you. And do you really need to have the income deferred down the road and take the income later? Sometimes you do, but many times you don't. Obviously, with an IRA, you're going to defer that to 70 and start taking the income if you can. Sometimes it doesn't work. So, yeah, one of the other things, too, we meet with our clients that are in our managed portfolios. We meet four times a year, and we want to meet four times a year. If a client doesn't want to meet four times a year, that's fine. But I require it the first year because I want to make sure the client understands how investments work and why we have them in those investment portfolios. And after that, we want to meet no less than once a year. And if you're not looking at your portfolio once a year, then you're not investing. You're just putting your money and you're not paying attention to it. And that's not good for anybody. You don't want to do that. You know, you want to be aware of what you're into.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, it's getting close to tax time. Most people are getting their forms in, getting things together. Definitely use this as a resource. I mean, you call us on the air, we'll help you. Call us at the office, not a problem. We'll talk with you. We're not here to just try to get you to come in and sign our billing agreement and stuff. I try to treat, as I know you do, all the people we come in contact with as if it's our own situation. And
yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things I think that our show brings that a lot of shows don't, is you can call and ask a question. And we will answer that for you, or at least give you an opinion. And, you know, we try to give you as much advice as we can. Certainly, everybody, if you're doing tax planning or investment planning or retirement planning or estate planning, you need to sit down and look at your situation, because your situation may not be the same as somebody else's. That's why when we talk on here, we talk in generalities, but if we talk to you, we'll talk to you about your specific situation and zero in on what you might need or might not need. And sometimes it's more what you don't need than what you do need.
I agree. Well, I got to ask you, Chuck, do you think the Seahawks can pull it off here in another week and avoid being victims of some sort of rascalism from the Patriots?
Well, as you know, I predicted at the start of the season, I had predicted that the first time in history the same two teams that would get in the Super Bowl would be there, and I also predicted that the Seahawks would win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So, and I know you actually predicted that the Seahawks would play New England in the Super Bowl, so you hit it right on the head. And I still think Seattle's going to win. And, you know, New England, I think this whole thing about the deflated ball is a bunch of baloney, because this stuff's been going on since time began when you play sports. I mean, it's been going on forever. It went on in professional baseball. It's gone on in basketball. It's gone on. You were telling me a thing about basketball where some of the basketball players would inflate the basketball so they could bounce it higher.
Magic Johnson,
6'9"
point guard. He doesn't want a little guy running around his feet taking a flat ball from him. So he would go and way over inflate him beforehand and have that ball spring right off the floor up into his hand. So, you know.
Yeah, it's been going on forever. Football, I can remember years ago they've talking about deflated footballs and inflated footballs and stuff. And so this stuff's been going on forever. And I think it's great news stuff for people to get all hyped up about and stuff. But I think the reality is you're going to see two of the – and I happened to see a documentary this morning Pete Carroll was the guy who got fired at New England, and New England then hired Belichick. So Belichick replaced Pete Carroll at in New England, and Pete Carroll had won, had actually went to the playoffs 2 years before and won the division, and then he ended up getting fired. And he, of course, the history is he then went to SC, University of Southern Cal, became a very successful college coach, and now came back into the pros, is doing a great job at Seattle. And I think I think the Kraft family is going to be kind of disappointed come Sunday afternoon when the guy they fired beat the guy they hired.
Yeah, that's true. It's a tough call. Do you pick the hot team and the Patriots, or do you pick the defense? Which typically you pick defense over offense. And,
well, historically in professional sports, historically football particularly, strong defense beats strong offense.
Yeah.
The question is, we'll see what the adjustments. You happen to have, I think, two of the smartest coaches in football, who consistently, and if you watch the second half games of New England and the second half of the Seattle games, you'll see that both those two teams normally play a better second half than they do a first half. That's because their coaching staff makes adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the Seattle, the last game against the Packers, 55 minutes of that game, the Packers outplayed the Seahawks.
Yep.
No question about it.
Yep.
The Packers were the better team for 55 minutes, and then their world just fell apart. And, it's hard to say whether the Seattle beat them or the Packers killed themselves, but I think it was a combination of both.
It kind of is. Boy, you know, the conservative offenses, once you take a lead, is just a stroke of death. I mean, it just more times than not, I just don't know why people don't see that you have to still keep going at a team. So,
Before we get off the air, I do want to say, if you are retired or you know anybody who's about to retire or has got the next 5 years to retire, they need to go on our website at pfgwm.com. We have a Social Security on-demand seminar on there. You can go in the comfort of your home, run some numbers for yourself, take a look at Social Security, and take a look at that. And it's a free analysis. So take a look at it. It's some information. You've paid your hard-earned money for Social Security. You deserve to get the maximization. Kevin, how's somebody get a hold of you?
503-666-5569 and baker-colson.com.
Okay, we're at pfgwm.com. at 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. We're conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103 in Portland, Oregon. We will talk to you next week.
We do investing simplified.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management, on the web at pfgwm.com.